You are now listening to Tales from a World Asunder.
Hello there, I'm Nick, voice of Adelaide in Tales from a World Asunder, and I'm here to let you know that as of this moment, there's an official AsunderPod Discord. We are very excited to open up a space where our listeners, that's you, will be able to find a home for your rants about the latest episode, fan creations, conspiracy theories, and any questions for the AsunderPod team. It will also be a home for our official art and latest announcements, including the announcement of any and all upcoming bonus content. We will still be posting on our Instagram as normal, so if you don't have a Discord, don't worry, you can still get all the latest news. Our Discord will be linked in our Instagram bio, which is @AsunderPod, or in the body text of this episode here, and any future episodes. From the bottom of our hearts, we want to thank you for taking the time out of your day to listen to our silly little podcast, and we really appreciate your continued support and community as we try to make this podcast the best that it can be. And now, without further ado, please enjoy this tale from a world asunder.
Welcome back, everyone. My name is Simon. I'll be your GM. And joining me are the lovely Louisa.
Hi.
And Nick.
Hello.
In our last episode, our heroes trekked out from the human settlement of Alpujarra to an elven village to collect information about the disappearance of Mila's fiancé, Omar. Having sought out information, they were also confronted by Sergeant Belencourt, a member of what was formerly Omar's battalion, as well as a mysterious elven mage who shot Mila's familiar Pinky on sight, really.
Straight in the head.
They then journeyed into the forest beyond the ridge, despite the advice of pretty much every elvish person they'd spoken to, and found the scene of something involving a creature similar to what they had been calling the Carlog. They were then confronted by Sergeant Belencourt, who was prepared to kill them before being himself devoured by some massive creature, which then slipped away into the night. And so here, at some point around midnight in a dark forest, we catch up with our two heroes.
Adelaide, in that moment, has the presence of mind to pick up his shotgun and just train it on the beast, whatever it is. And Mila, you actually see, as he sort of focuses, there are several runes, not in the lingua arcana, but in a mix of languages. You can see traces of Orcish, traces of Draconic, a couple of pieces of Lingua Arcana, but like only as a setting, essentially. Most of this is not actual magic, formalized magic in any way that you know. This is like folk magic kind of thing. As he trains it, this series of symbols and glyphs light up down the barrel of the shotgun, and he sort of trains his eye down it, and you can see he pulls the trigger, and nothing seems to come out, but you see, as the Carlog fades into the distance, a faint burst of green light, like the green flash as the sun sets. It doesn't actually seem to illuminate anything. It seems to be more of like an actual solid light, like a green, thick, glowing mist, almost, that dissipates almost instantly. But he does clearly mark the beast. You also see there's a faint green glow in his eyes that look like the red veins in his eyes are just slightly glowing green, just at the corners.
That's dope as hell. We got it.
Listen.
You mark this creature as it disappears into the deeper woods. And you do see, you remember Ale described it as almost having a tail? And you see that that is more or less what's happening. But you would see that its body just kind of extends back, Like, every part of it is longer behind it than it should be.
Interesting.
Weird. Does it look... I mean, I'm only getting a glance, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
On that, does Mila think it looks natural?
What stat might you be using to try and find out if that's the case?
I mean, either nature or arcana, I think. I think she's trying to see, like, are there any mods on this thing?
I'm going to need specifically one of those.
I would also like to do a similar thing of trying to figure out if this visual connects with anything I would know more intimately. I would like to use nature for that.
Okay.
I'm going to go arcana. I think she's thinking about, like, I think she's like, does this look weird in any way that I would know about? That's an 18 arcana.
Mm-hmm.
That's a natural one for a 4 nature.
The nat one on nature, I'm going to handle first, because I think this stumps a lot of your intuitions about what a creature like this would be doing. Like, this creature doesn't make sense on a couple levels. Because first off, there aren't forest predators this big. The physiology just stumps you. This thing shouldn't exist the way it exists. And I think on an 18 arcana, you're not sure what's causing it. You would need to use a detect magic to understand more about it.
Okay.
But there is something arcane going on here. You're able to identify that, like, this is not entirely a natural occurrence, that this creature looks like this and moves like this. Because it is moving unnaturally fast, and it has effects on it that you haven't observed in any sort of natural creature.
Okay.
So there is something arcane going on here, but you can't tell specifically what it is without, like, doing magic about it.
Adelaide turns to Mila and goes, "All right, we either go after this thing, or we try to stay the fuck out of its way, but seeing as what just happened, not sure if that's an actually viable plan. Now, if we go after it, we go after it now."
Yeah, let's go.
Okay. And I'm going to leap into action and just try and track this thing and follow as quickly as I can.
This would be a survival.
Yep. That's a 23.
Mila, you see a man spring into action to do what he was put on this earth to do. Adelaide goes absolutely tearing through the forest. What you notice, Adelaide, as you're sort of leading Mila along this thing's path, it's not leaving tracks. That's the first thing. Immediately strange. This thing is not leading tracks. The other thing you notice is, as Mila identified with the Arcana check, it is moving unnaturally fast. You are essentially taking the dash action every turn just to keep pace with this thing, and you still can't clearly see it.
Right. Okay.
Yep. You are on that 23, you realize that you are going to need to either find a way to cut this thing off or corner it in order to, like, get a glimpse of it.
Actually, I think for now, I'm just going to follow it. I think Adelaide cares less about confronting it and more about figuring out where it's going.
Does that mean that you guys are sort of dashing every turn to keep pace with this thing?
Yeah.
I'm going to need constitution checks from both of you.
Okay.
Ooh.
I got a 19 on the die.
Yeah, I got a 3 on the die, which is a 4. Middle age is catching up.
Well, I think, Adelaide, you sort of pushed out ahead. You like, really sprinted thinking you were going to catch up to this thing. And I think you're winded. Simple. And at some point you realize you've lost this thing's tail. Mila, you're keeping pretty good pace, but you see Adelaide is just not going to be able to keep up, and he's the one who knows where he's going.
Adelaide, once he realizes that he's just not going to be able to keep up, he just sort of comes to slows to a jog, then slows to a walk, and just goes, "We'll find him. I know I have his scent. I know where he is. It's too fucking fast. Give me a moment. I'll be all right in a moment."
Maybe maybe we come up with a different plan?
I mean, it depends. It depends on what our goal here is. Is it, like, to track him, or to find out where he's going? That was my plan, but maybe if we're trying to corner him or trap him in some way, we can get around him. I mean, I can try and figure out what his, sorry. Just give me 1 second.
You're okay. Yeah, you're okay.
Fucking hell, he's fast.
As you sink to the ground a little bit, Adelaide, just like catching your breath, you hear a tremendous cracking and crashing up ahead in the woods. Trees, wood splitting, and just like the ground being torn up. You feel like a rumble almost.
All right. I don't know what the fuck that is, but we're gonna go. And they take off at a slightly slower pace.
You make your ways a little way deeper into the woods. You see that there's a small clearing, and you finally get a clear look at this thing. You see slamming into, like, rocks and trees, this massive body is just writhing on the ground. Four-legged, almost like a story and a half tall wolf. But again, longer in every way than it should be. With this fur that is kind of dappled, almost the way that like light goes through leaves. And at those points of light, you can see now that it's very clearly just very reflective. It's shiny. It reflects, in this case, moonlight. You hear it snarling this like, and as it turns its face briefly to you, you see a giant, single, very reflective eye.
I'd like to cast Speak with Animals.
Okay.
He's not going to do anything yet. He's just going to sort of sit in the brush.
Yeah, give me stealth checks.
That's a 17 on the die for 18.
To 6.
Adelaide, as you cast Speak with Animals, that has, I think, verbal components.
I think what it is he takes his middle finger and traces a symbol on his tongue and then just says in Draconic, "Hear me."
As you speak the verbal component for that spell, you hear a crack as this thing stops. It was turned away from you. You see it rears up, and you see it sort of shake as it slowly, stutteringly turns and faces you directly.
Adelaide will step out of any shadow.
Roll initiative.
It's a nat 20.
8.
Mila, you are acting first, but you know that this creature will act immediately after you.
From the thrashing, I think Mila would try to do a quick insight to, like, is this creature hurt?
You can use your free interaction to do an insight.
Can I take my help action from Pinky?
If you're going to use it on this, then yeah.
Yes. That's a 21.
Okay, wow. Yeah, this thing is pretty hurt. You also, on that 21 insight, because that's above 20, so silver tier information, this creature is experiencing, like, it's not just hurt.
Mm-hmm.
It is conflicted. Like, the way that it is moving is not consistent with a creature that is, in its right mind, going about its business. It is stuttering, it is seizing, it is, like, thrashing.
In that case, she's just gonna cast Mage Armor on herself. She's holding her staff and it glows while she, like, basically writes out a notation on her chest.
Okay. Nick, what's your AC?
14.
You see this creature rear back on its hind legs and leap towards you and extend a massive, long, clawed arm to try and swipe at you. although you try to dodge it, you feel something connect, and you take 6 points of slashing damage. Please give me a perception check.
It's 25 again.
You see the claw comes down and you move to dodge it. And you would have dodged it if the claw that you saw was the claw that hit you.
Fascinating.
The shimmering fur sort of caught your eye and you dodged it, and you would have successfully dodged it, but another arm catches you. A much smaller arm. Give me that con save for concentration.
I did. It was a natural 20.
Oh, amazing. Okay. Adelaide, that is you up.
Can I use my free action to try and see through what seems to be an illusion?
Yeah, you can make an investigation check.
Nope. 7.
It's the thing where you've correctly identified what's going on, and I'll just give that to you. Like, yes, there is illusory magic at work here. What you don't get is any ability to see through it or any further understanding of what it is.
Adelaide is going to take an extra step forward.
You are now within arm's length of the visible body of this creature.
He still has his shotgun out, but it's not in a particularly aggressive stance. It's just look, if I need to use this, I will. I think he says, look, I don't want to hurt you. I want to help if I can. You seem to be in pain. Let me help.
Are you doing this with Speak with Animals? Or are you saying this in a language?
You think you are so slick, Simon. You think that we're not going to crack your little, silly little fucked up mystery.
Are you not entertained?
I will leave it to you as the DM, your ruling. The spell just says you gain the ability to comprehend and verbally communicate with beasts for the duration. It's not clear on whether it's an extra language or it's whether your speech can be understood.
I would say it's your speech would be understood. So what I will rule on this is Adelaide says this in common with the knowledge that an animal would understand him.
I think he's going to do it in Elvish, not common.
Make a charisma check. Let's say persuasion.
Okay, could be worse. 12.
I don't think Adelaide gets anything back on that, and I will say that talking is a free action, but you've attempted to convince this thing. That's
my action. I'll use my bonus action to, in Draconic, tell Razzie to, he'll sort of make a trail down his body with his shotgun, to just go up and see what the fuck's going on. And Razzie sort of scampers down off his shoulder and goes to also investigate the illusion, but is going to, like, go into the space.
Okay. Give me an investigation check with Razzie's stats.
That's a 2.
I mean, we weren't confident in it working.
He was always a little pangolin.
I would like to point out that I think of the three of us, Razzie has both the highest armor class and the most hit points.
Oh my fucking gosh.
Razzie is our tank.
Mila, it is your turn.
Seeing this, I am going to cast Tasha's Hideous Laughter on the Carlog. And it has to make a DC 15 wisdom saving throw if it has higher than 4 intelligence.
Hold on.
That's a plus 18 to wisdom.
It so truly is not. Is Tasha's Hideous Laughter an attack?
No.
Okay.
I think that Mila's way of working with Arcana and doing magic is manipulating the physical laws, the metaphysical laws of the universe, if you will. So I think that she, writes on the air a notation that pulls on a part of the world to make, feathers appear under the car logs, in his sensitive spots and start tickling him.
You watch this creature double over, fall prone, because that's what the spell does, and you hear, raspy pained.
I think Mila is like a little shaken in this moment, and like this, things are not what they seem right now. Does she recognize this laughter?
Roll an insight.
It's a 14.
I would say no. This was halfway between like falling over with laughter in a human way and like a wounded animal.
Okay. The last thing Mila wants to do is just tell Pinky, because Pinky's telepathic and can communicate with any creature within 100 feet of it that can't understand a language. So I think Mila's like, talk to it. We're not going to hurt it. And I think that's all she has time to do in one turn, but that's what she's going to ask Pinky to do.
Pinky is going to attempt to communicate with this thing. It is its turn. It's going to attempt to break out from being prone. You see on a save, the laughter subsides.
Silvery barb.
Mila uses her reaction to cast that silvery barbs, which goes out as this kind of like blade of silvery energy that hits him in the chest, making him stagger and re-roll that save.
That is not gonna do it.
Yes, and I'll give advantage to Adelaide.
Adelaide, you watch this creature attempt to steady itself, and you watch some like flick of Mila's magic alter fate in the tiniest little way to just say no.
The encouragement that Mila screams to Adelaide as she silvery barbs, because that's what it is technically, is like, now, it's gotta be now, end it now.
Yeah, that was the turn. I would like everybody to give me dex saves.
Ooh. 18, and I'll do one for Razzie as well.
Oh, that's so good. It was almost a 3, and then it rolled onto a 19, which is a total of 20.
18 for me, 9 for Razzie.
Should I roll for Pinky as well?
Yes.
Is it a magical effect?
It is, yeah.
Okay, and he has advantage. Nat 20 for Pinky.
You guys are very lucky that I roll low and that you succeeded on that save. Everyone involved takes 10 points of fire damage, halved from 21, as a fireball comes careening out of the woods, hitting the Carlog dead center. You see this creature like writhe in pain as it's hit with a fireball.
Adelaide is truly hanging on by a thread. He is knocked off of his feet.
Oh, Pinky is unmade.
Pinky, absolutely unmade. Second time today.
Razzie didn't save, I assume.
Wait, nope.
Resistant to fire damage.
He's immune.
Mila similarly goes on a ride because that's her hit point total. But you see, I think the fire in her eyes burns like brighter as she is resistant to fire damage and takes only 5 points of damage.
Adelaide, that's you.
Adelaide's first going to see if he can see through the illusion again.
Give me an investigation.
You have advantage on a check in the next minute.
Yes, I am fucking using it. That's better. 14.
Oh boy.
Let's go.
In the light of a clearing now lit up with fire, you see the fire isn't illuminating the Carlog. What it is illuminating is the rough outline of a human form within the larger body of the Carlog. The visual metaphor I'll use is like a Chinese lion dance outfit. It is this massive, illusory superstructure
over a body. Pure illusion.
Adelaide's gonna take a fucking risk. He doesn't even really have the strength to get up. He is burnt. He's gonna crawl over to it and close his eyes, trace a few symbols in a line down its chest, and cast Cure Wounds.
The grove is lit on fire. Mila, you watch Adelaide, very badly burned, crawl what looks like to be into the body of this beast. Adelaide, as you crawl through, you find, like, 5 feet in, still trying to maniacally laugh because the body is magically afflicted, but covered in burns, tattered rags and fur that is now beginning to fade. You see the body of a Meridian man with what was once slick-backed hair, and you must assume must have been one killer mustache. You get a glimpse of a face, like distorted both with what was a snout, but is now becoming a nose. An eye that is fully black. And another eye removed by gunshot wound. And as you touch a hand to his chest and cast Cure Wounds, you save the life of Lieutenant Second Class Omar Isidor Montoya y Oshala from making death saves.
Yeah.
Roll hit points.
I'm trembling. 8 points of healing.
You see that wounds close, burns heal. Still, again, chest rising and falling erratically as he's attempting to laugh.
Adelaide, on finishing this spell, is going to just call out. He's going to, like, muster up his strength and call out.
Mila, it's Omar. He's alive. Keep him that way.
I still have a bonus action, which I can do something with Razzie with. Adelaide very weakly just points to the forest, and I want Razzie to try and find whatever the fuck threw the fireball.
What sense is Razzie using to try and find this?
Probably smell.
Roll investigation, yeah.
Razzie finds fuck all. On a natural one, minus one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
on a zero, actually.
Razzie is stumped. And with that, it is Mila's turn.
Mila takes a moment to get up from the impact of the fireball, breathing hard. There's still smoke coming off of her clothes, off her singed hair. The tips of her horns glow like heated metal in a forge. Instead of looking to Omar, though, she stares daggers with her fire-red eyes into the tree line. Can she see anything in the blazing path, if you will?
No.
Everything in her is saying, like, run to him, but I think she's like, fuck, something is really wrong. So I think she's gonna try to do, like, a perception check first to see, like, are we still in danger? Is someone still around?
Yeah, give me perception.
I am going to use my nat 20 divination roll.
Okay. I mean, using a portent roll to get a nat 20 on perceiving things is the most diviner move possible. You tap in to the capacity you have to see the course of events. You triangulate exactly where the fireball would have come from, the Nat 20 like gives you insight into the mechanics of D&D a little bit, because you know that whatever cast this was a spellcaster, which could have moved or dashed in any of these directions, in any of these places. The maximum distance this assailant could be is 90 feet, because the fireball came from relatively close range. And if you didn't see it, they're either really, really good at stealth, or they're invisible.
I mean, I'm out of spell slots. She's gonna take out her pistol and, like, hold it out as she looks over the woods. I think first looking for a mark. And when she can't find it, she is going to use thaumaturgy to make the ground rumble and the flames of the grove flicker. And is going to say, pick another battle.
Roll intimidation, and you're using magic to give yourself advantage.
Fuck yeah, that's sick as hell.
14 plus 4, so an 18 total. Actually, DM, from a few episodes ago, you gave me 1d4 to use on a charisma roll as inspiration. So I would like to add that on top of here.
Okay, roll.
It's a 1.
Every little bit counts.
So that makes it 19. So,
do you drop concentration?
Yes, I drop concentration on Tarsus Hideous Laughter. I drop concentration on Tarsus Hideous Laughter. I think that's the last thing she remembers. Like, I think she power poses for like a second and then walks towards Omar into the car log.
As you draw closer, it is his turn. And I think we'll cut to a small flashback in the middle of combat of the last time you saw him. The skyport of Antonia. You stood on the dock. And like so many others, and not because he wanted you to, but honestly, partly just because of the cliche, waved a handkerchief as the ship carrying him away was departing. And the last thing you saw was that little hint of a smile as he turned away, and the light shining off of his very starched, pure white uniform. You approach the body now. Uniform rent asunder, burnt, fouled, covered in blood. And you notice he still has his boots on. Which is why this thing wasn't leaving any tracks. You see his body is covered in scar tissue. Some of it burns, most of it what were clearly lacerations. And then you see his face. What would have normally been a very clean-shaven jaw is covered in a scraggly beard that's like half burned. His eye, which had a scar on it before, was covered in a bandage that has now burned away. And you see an empty cavity where his eye would have been. His other eye is pure black, the way your eyes go when you're seeing through Pinky. You see it slowly brighten and return to its normal hazel. As his breathing starts to regulate, you see the tension in his body start to soften, and he collapses into unconsciousness. The illusion around you fades, and you are left in the middle of a smoldering grove with the body of your fiancé, who is now some state of unconscious on the ground. We're out of combat.
Adelaide, for the first moment, takes stock of his injuries, and the adrenaline wears off slightly, and realizes that that last hit was more than half of his max hit points, which means that he has lasting injury.
As Adelaide takes stock of where everything hit him, he feels a patch on his leg that is going to be a lasting burn that will need to be, like, cared for, and will grant a disadvantage on dex saves until it is treated.
Is it that, or is it a limp, which is your speed on foot is reduced by 5 feet? You must make a DC 10 dex save after using the dash action. If you fail the save, you fall prone.
I think you've made a better case there. Adelaide feels a very severe burn on his thigh that will have him walking with a limp.
Mila, as the smoke kind of parts, kneels on the ground and is like, no, and picks up Omar's head and, like, puts it on her lap if he's unconscious on the ground. And for a second, she just starts cleaning his face. She, like, fully, like, licks her fingers and starts rubbing off the dried blood and the smoke and the ashes.
Give me a medicine check.
You know what that is.
Mm-hmm. I think Mila is panicking, because I think as you start to look more and more closely at this body, more and more things start to trouble you. Not just the wounds. You see that as his mouth falls slightly open, the front canines are much longer than you remember. You see the nails on his hands are also greater in length and have formed into claws. And you see, as his eyes sort of flutter, or eye, singular, instead of a white sclera, his is slightly yellowed, the way that an animal that hunts at night will have slightly yellowed, backlit eyes. You clean his face off, which makes him look a little bit more like you remember, but other than that, he's stable. He's in stable condition. Even on that nat one, it's very clear you're going to need to keep making medicine checks, and barring a nat 20, you're going to have to get him to someone who can heal him properly. This man is in need of a hospital.
She spends a second just on his face and looking at him and kind of mumbling to herself. Not in a language that Adelaide recognizes, I don't think. As she takes stock of what's going on, and then she turns to Adelaide with her eyes, like, wide and says, "We have to get him to a doctor." And she, like, takes her hands off Omar for a second and holds Adelaide's hand, if he lets her.
Yeah, he does.
Thank you. I don't know what I would have done.
All right, let's just get out of here.
Shanat, and I think she's gonna have to, like, cast Mage Hand so that between her, Adelaide, and the Mage Hand, they can carry Omar.
I think Adelaide gets to his feet, and then his leg buckles under him, and he goes, all right, one second. Dabs the inside of his cheek to grab some blood, and it does the same symbols down his chest a little bit more shakily this time, and just makes the symbols in blood for extra potency, and he's gonna cast Cure Wound on himself, which I believe also gets rid of the limp.
In order to get rid of grave injuries, you will need to seek medical help, either magical or traditional.
Okay, great. Then he's just going to do that and make sure he doesn't fucking die in the meantime. I get 9 hit points back, so I'm okay.
What were you at, like 2 or 3?
2, yeah. He's going to then help Mila, to the best of his ability, pick Omar up, sling him across both their shoulders, and he's going to sort of pick up his shotgun, make a little trail from the ground with his shotgun to his shoulder for Razzy to sort of scamper back up. Razzy, who is untouched, seems perfectly fine. And you can see Adelaide relaxes a little bit with that weight on his shoulders. And he slings the shotgun painfully over his shoulder. And he goes, all right, let's get back.
Is this the dead of night?
It is the dead of night. It is 3 a.m.
Do you want to camp?
Not here. No.
I can make it easier to move if I just get a rest. I just need like 2 hours.
Give me an insight check. Both of you.
Dirty 20.
Natural one.
On a dirty 20, you used your portent roll to perceive that assailant. If you give that mage enough time to get far enough, you might not have till morning. I think on that dirty 20, you intuit this is not a situation where you can take that second to breathe that would make everything here easier. You're not even sure on that 20 if just getting back to Alpujarra will be 100% safe.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking about now. I think she's just, okay, no, you're right. We need to go. I think they have it out for us now. So maybe let's go back to the Elven village. There may be some healer there or something like that.
DM, which is closer, do I think?
Just on a raw distance, you think it would probably be the Elven village, but you could easily get back to either by sunrise if you prioritized speed.
Which we won't be able to do.
You can. You can still make it the priority. It's just you won't be prioritizing stealth.
Adelaide goes, all right, frankly, we've got two options. We can go back to the village, but then we're stuck there. They might have healing. They probably have healing. They probably know what to do. But also, if this is what I suspect it might be, and it's that same freaky-looking dude from the village.
Right.
That you saw spying in on us, spying in on Pinky or whatever it is. Going back to the village is going right into his territory. Now, if we go back to the camp, they might not look too kindly on Omar here. Genuinely, I think our best bet is trying to make it back to the airship and getting the fuck out of here. I mean, they've already branded him as a deserter and a dead man. So, making it true ain't gonna fix anything. I mean, it's not gonna make anything worse. He can tell his story later when he's conscious. Once we're closer, I can get Razzy to go tell them to pick us up.
I think you're right. I think there's too many threats. Let's try to make it to your airship.
All right. This way, then. We gotta take it as fast as we can, but I can't go that fast anymore. My leg is not doing well.
We'll get you some help. We'll figure something out.
I'm fine. We just can't go fast. Let's just go. It's fine.
Both of you give me constitution, if you're prioritizing speed. The way this works is each of you can choose a stat, constitution, or stealth.
Stealth is better, but constitution is more important. If this is basically us running, would it be fair to say I probably have disadvantage on this?
Mm-hmm.
That's a 3 from me.
And a 9 from me.
I mean, you guys are carrying an unconscious man. One of you has a limp, and the other one is not exactly a strength-based character. You sort of make your way through the woods, down the ridge. I mean, you are winded. You're taking breaks to sit. You're taking time to sort of change how everyone is positioned in this kind of weekend at Bernie's superstructure you're working with here. And it's hard going. As the sun begins to rise, you return to the edge of the woods, back on the plain, with only Camp Ygrek between you and the village of Alpujarra.
Last chance to make a stop.
No.
Then I suggest we hide our way through this.
All right, I'll send Razi ahead.
Okay.
And he'll just tell Razi to go tell the boys to get everything ready. We are on our way.
Razi cannot communicate with you telepathically, correct?
Correct, but in Draconic, which means that he can also communicate perfectly fine with the kobolds.
No, of course. Just to say, like, once he's gone, you can't receive updates from him.
No, once he's gone, he's gone.
Razi heads out. Both of you give me stealth.
That's a 7.
That's a natural 20. Saved our asses there.
Saved your ass.
This is a group check. And that nat 20 pays for all of your sins.
I think what Adelaide does is he, when going into stealth, he sees that Mila's struggling a bit, and he just goes, "We're going slow, I can take this." And he just full-on shoulder slings Omar and just carries him on his own.
You make it sort of along the edge of the woods, going basically anywhere where you'll be out of sight from the camp's watchtowers. It's still early morning, and as you hear the trumpet blare for morning roll, you make your way. Adelaide, you've been in enough camps to know roughly what side of the camp that's taking place on, and you lead through the other and make clear a path towards the settlement. You are within like 15 minutes distance of the airship. As you begin to enter the sleepy settlement, you see that there are two locals with rifles sitting at the way out of town that would lead you up towards the airship by road. You prioritize speed, but someone was faster.
Do they see us?
With that stealth, no, you managed to duck around a corner.
Is there any way for us to get around them?
Yes, it'll be a stealth check against their DCs.
There's buildings around, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Adelaide's gonna try and cause a building on the other side of us have the door fly open with thaumaturgy.
Nice. You have advantage on this stealth check.
With advantage, I rolled a 6.
With advantage, though I didn't really need it, I rolled a 22.
Once again, just covering for Mila on this one.
Adelaide's definitely done this before.
Mila's, like, too concerned about Omar's head, like, bonking against Adelaide's back and the woods around them. So she's not...
Every time he bounces, she goes, "Ooh!"
Yeah.
Adelaide's just like, "Shut up. Stop it."
You begin to make your way up the terraces. We'll keep those stealth rolls as you see that each terrace is being patrolled. And at the top, towards where you know that the airship is, you see, mounted on a horse, rifle in her hand, Anna Morena patrolling the edge of her farmstead. You eventually come to a point where you could make a dash and try and get onto the airship.
I could try and bribe Anna Morena without her seeing us necessarily, but she would know we're here.
I mean, I want to have words with her as well. I'll deal with her. You go to the airship, take care of him. I'll deal with her.
Are you sure?
I'm sure. If I'm shot down, you go. Tell them boys to go. Mila, do you understand me? As the acting captain here, I'm telling you to go if I'm shot down.
Yes, Captain.
Now go.
She turns to shoulder Omar and gets ready to dash with him to the ship.
Adelaide will go to the point where they could either dash and make a run for it or break off. And he's going to just stand up, brush himself off, and just step out in front of Anna Marina. So he's in between her and the airship.
Fully burned, singed from head to toe.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Give me a stealth just to get into that position. And Louisa, give me a stealth with advantage.
That's a bastard 20.
That's a total of 10.
Stop rolling poorly.
Listen, I rolled really well earlier in the episode, okay?
You did. Our roles have swapped.
By the power of Adelaide pulling focus, Mila, you begin to make your way, carrying your fiancé, who is heavier than you.
She deadlifts, it's fine.
Well, he's not dead, so it's not quite a deadlift.
Yeah.
Wow.
You see that Anna cocks her rifle, seeing you, keeping distance.
Adelaide also pulls out a shotgun and just tucks it under his arm, not threateningly, but like, I have one too.
Looking a little lost there, stranger.
Yeah, well, it's been a long day.
What is actually the move here?
I think he sees her hesitate for a moment, and he goes,
look, I don't know why you are all out here. I don't know why you have decided that we are suddenly an enemy to be reckoned with. We haven't done fuck all to you, except get rid of a problem that y'all have been having and haven't told anybody about for God knows what reason.
5,000 senior bounty say otherwise.
Right. All right. Well, can't argue with the money.
Give me a perception check.
That's great. That's really good. That's an 18 plus 6 for a 24.
Either you roll initiative right now or you will be shot.
Did Adelaide shoot first?
Adelaide tries to shoot the horse out from under her.
Roll initiative.
Yeah. Not great. That's a 14 from me.
Adelaide, it is your move.
He's going to just take his shotgun and shoot the horse.
Roll to hit.
How far are we from the ship?
You're probably 50 feet out.
Damn. Okay.
I said you could hit the dash.
No. It's not about that. It's about Razzie's range. That's a 17 to hit.
Hits. It's a horse.
That's pretty good. That's a 14 damage.
You killed the horse.
As the horse is falling out from under her, Anna is still going to try and get a shot off on you. She will roll this with disadvantage. Adelaide takes 5 points of piercing damage as a rifle bullet glances off your shoulder.
His goal is to basically trap her under the horse.
As the horse falls, you hear a crunch. You hear a buff, some bitch!
Adelaide will walk over to her.
You see her, like, furiously attempting to reload her rifle.
He'll just nudge her head with the tip of the barrel of the shotgun. And just go, stop.
Roll intimidation.
Is this charisma or strength?
This is strength.
Bastard 20.
Her hands freeze on the rifle, just kind of trembling.
5,000 senior. Now that is a pretty penny. Thank you for your hospitality. And if you go shooting me in the back, I promise you, this town will not survive the night. You understand me?
She nods.
I said, do you understand me, Miss Anna Marina?
Yes.
Thanks. It's nice doing business with you. I hope someday I might come back and have your hospitality once more.
You do, as you're doing this incredibly badass thing, see people begin to come up the hill.
Yeah. He's very aware of it.
By now. And he's just gonna walk.
Not sprinting, but walk as fast as he can to the ship.
And he's gonna just start calling out in Draconic various commands and various, like, questions of, like, are we ready to go? Or can we go right now? Come on.
Ready, boss. Ready, boss.
All right. Drop down the ladder and start flying. I'll catch up in a sec.
Yes, Captain.
As Adelaide engages in this incredibly badass behavior, what is your normal charisma stat?
It's a 6.
So this is a black hat behavior. When making intimidation checks with strength, you will gain a +1. Your passive intimidation has increased by 1.
Ooh, cool.
Great.
This is our reputation mechanic in game. As our characters do increasingly badass and
unhinged
sort of anti-hero activity, their reputation will precede them and they will gain bonuses to charisma checks, either for intimidation or persuasion, depending on the moral character of the things that they have undertaken.
Fascinating that.
He'll sort of latch onto the rope ladder and climb his way weakly up, finally get onto the ship and just sort of lie there for a second.
I think Mila and Omar are already, like, stretched out on the deck as well. So Adelaide comes and lie down, that makes 3.
As the three of you lie prone and our noble kobold crew weigh anchor, you feel the gentle hum of the crystal in the hull that will give you the lift you need to get the hell out of this place. From a World Asunder is Louisa Zanardi as Mila, Nick Sturman as Adelaide, and Simon Ivchevich as the world falling apart around them.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening.
Have you been given the gift of magical proficiency? Do you want to make a difference in your community? Your country needs you, yes, you, to be part of ensuring and securing our bright future. Enlist today for the INR Arcanist Corps. Be part of something greater. Be part of the future. This message is brought to you by the Imperial and Republican Ministry for National Unity and Defense.